The reading this morning is taken from 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 11, and that's page 959. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Father, speak. As you have already been speaking, continue to speak. We know that people can't live by just bread, but we need the word of God. So would you speak to us your amazing word? Speak to us your amazing truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Well, the focus of our teaching this year is God. Okay, so that sounds good for a church, doesn't it? God the Holy Spirit. We're going to be looking at him quite a bit. And what I want to say to you is that we need the Holy Spirit in our church and in our lives. Billy Graham used to say that in the early church, if you took away the Holy Spirit, 95% of what they did would stop. But in the modern church, if you took away the Holy Spirit, 95% would continue on. And 95% of people probably wouldn't notice, all right? So are we a church that's in the 95%? If we lost the Holy Spirit, it would stop. Or are we in the 95% of the church that would carry on? I want to hope that we are the first. We don't want to be a church like that. And I've said that the Holy Spirit ministers, said last week, the Holy Spirit ministers to us in two ways mostly. And that is through the gifts of the Spirit, okay, the power of the Spirit, and through the fruit of the Spirit, which is the personality of Jesus. So gifts, power, fruit, personality. And the fruit take time to grow in our lives. So when we come to Jesus, we don't instantly become massively loving and peaceful and patient. Maybe you find you did, but it's not the norm. These things normally have to grow like fruit has to grow. But we do receive these gifts from God that are instantaneous gifts. We're just given stuff by him, which is just mighty. Stuff like, do I have to change? Where's my pack? In my pocket? Okay, no worries. Hey, there's some bossy women about, isn't there? Serious? How's that?
Is that all right? What?
She says she's going to mute me. So anyway, where was I? So yes, so these gifts that we receive, we're going to look at those in the morning. Gifts that we get. Because the good news is every single person can have one of these gifts if they love Jesus here. And in the evenings, we're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit, because you get them all. You don't just get, like you do with the gifts, get one or two. With the fruit, you get them all. You get love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, all these things. You get them all. But in the mornings, we're going to look at the gifts. But let's just look at the passage that Johnny read to us there, just to make sure we're right 100% where we should be. If we move on to the next slide, hopefully you guys can see that. If not, I'll read it to you. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." Okay? Put up your hand if you feel a bit uninformed about spiritual gifts. Okay? Okay, the rest of you are experts. Please take the stage. Okay? Okay, many of us, put your hand up really high if you feel uninformed about spiritual gifts. Okay? So, biblical command, don't be uninformed. Okay, so that's why we're doing this series. It's not to be weird or new or anything like that, because the Bible says that we should not be uninformed about these spiritual gifts. So we're starting with number one today from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, secondly, it says in this passage, no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Is it important to be able to say Jesus is Lord? Yeah. And the only way you can do that is by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is really, 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 really important that we study him. Then it says there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. So all of these gifts come from the Lord. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but the same Lord. Sorry, the same God who empowers them all in everyone. So they're really, really, really important, but they're also various. They're all different. So not only should we not be uninformed, we also should not be uniform. Because we all have different gifts, different abilities, and we need all of them. And I love verse 7. It says, "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." You know, everybody gets to be part of this. You don't need one of these yokes here, like Emma just got given to her by the bishop or whatever. You don't need one of these to be useful in the kingdom of God. Every single person gets a gift to be used in the ministry of the kingdom. Everybody. In the kingdom of God, there are no spectators. You're either a player or you're not. Okay? There are no spectators. So do you know your gift? Some of us say we're uninformed about them. Let's get informed, but also let's discover what our gift is. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So it's not given to us for our own edification that we think we're so great because we're moving in these wonderful gifts. It's for the common good. It's for ministry. It's being with Jesus, being like Jesus, but then it's about doing the things that Jesus did. It's for the common good. It's for doing stuff for the Lord. And look at verse 11. It says, "All of these are empowered by the one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills." So who decides what we get? God. He's in charge, okay? So don't look at somebody else's gifts and go, "Oh, I wish I had that." Or don't look at somebody else's gifts and think, "Oh, I'm glad I don't have that one." He's in charge of who gets what. But we all get at least one of these gifts, okay? We get at least one. But the beautiful thing is, folks, this is so not new, what I'm sharing with you is. I really believe, and hopefully you'll see this from our little teaching series, I really believe that every single one of the gifts listed, certainly in this 1 Corinthians passage, are all visible in the ministry of Jesus, bar the gift of tongues, okay? And let me tell you, that if you say that tongues are wrong because they're not in the ministry of Jesus, that's called an argument from silence, okay? Now, it doesn't say that Jesus used the bathroom in the Bible. It doesn't say it. But I'm sure he did. You cannot make an argument from silence. So he may well. He certainly prayed intimately, "Abba, Father." So there's no argument necessarily to say that he didn't speak in tongues. But the rest of the spiritual gifts are all present in the ministry of Jesus, which would lead me to suggest that while we may not be a prophet necessarily, we might not all be prophets, we can all move at different times and different moments in the gift of the prophetic. That was the desire that all would prophesy in the Bible. We can move in these things. It might not be prophet with a capital P, but we can move in it. You know, we might not all have the spiritual gift of hospitality, which you can draw from other passages, but we can all be hospitable, okay? So, but we get specific gifts for the common good. If we move to the next slide, here are three things I want you to really remember. Spiritual gifts are not trophies, they're not talents, and they're not toys. Okay? They're not trophies where you go, I'm so great, look what I can do. They're not trophies. And let me tell you, they're always, always, when you go to a Christian conference or when you go to certain places, you'll see somebody who's treating it like a trophy. Look at how great I am. Look at these amazing experiences I have had. Look at these wonderful words I have given. That's not what it's about. We all do our bit under God, using those gifts for the common good. Sorry.
I'm going to try something else. She's really getting back at me there for saying that. Okay. Could you give me yours?
Secondly, I'm going to show you about effectiveness. They're not just talents. Now, this is really important because oftentimes, people have taught that spiritual gift is really just using our own talents. You know, so if you can play the piano, you know, you're a worship leader, okay? If you can play guitar, you're a worship leader. Or if you've got a big house, you have the spiritual gift of hospitality, okay? Or if you're outgoing, you have the spiritual gift of encouragement. That is not at all the case. I mean, some of the most encouraging people, some of the people that have the gift of encouragement that I know are far from outgoing people. They're actually quite introverted people, but they have got this gift. I mean, the gift of hospitality is not about just feeding people so that they can't walk when they leave your house. It's that people leave feeling not only physically refreshed, but also spiritually refreshed. So they're not just talents. Like, they're, you know, just because you can play guitar doesn't mean that God has anointed you with the gift of leading God's people in worship. It just doesn't. They're not just gifts. So what a lot of people have said is they're not enhancements, they're endowments. Okay? They're not enhancements, they're endowments. So not trophies, not talents, and they're not just toys. You know, A.W. Tozer is my favorite Christian writer, and he says the gifts of the Spirit are not toys to be played with, but tools to be used. So the gifts that God gives us are meant to be about seeing people won for Jesus, seeing people edified for Jesus, seeing people encouraged for Jesus. They're basically not about me. They're about others. In fact, the Bible says the only gift of the Spirit that's about edifying yourself is the gift of tongues. All the rest of them are about blessing other people. So they're not trophies. They're not just talents. And they're definitely not toys. They're tools for the kingdom. But better shoot on. What are we talking about today? The first one in Johnny's list, he said utterance of wisdom, as it says in the ESV, or word of wisdom. Utterance or word of wisdom. So we want to be informed about these spiritual gifts, so let's listen and let's decide what we believe about this thing listed, the word of wisdom. Here's my definition of it. It is a sudden insight given by the Holy Spirit concerning God's wisdom. And I don't want hands raised here, but just think to yourself, have you ever had, in a difficult moment, challenging moment, a no-win situation moment, have you ever had the wisdom of God given to you for that moment in a way that you were able to speak and bring peace? Okay? Have you ever been? Secondly, let me ask you this question. Can you think of situations in your life where it would be really useful for God to give you a word at that moment that you could speak out and would bring peace? Put up your hand if you can think of a situation where that would be useful. I can think of a lot of situations. I'm sure our whole government would be better if somebody could just think of it, wouldn't it? A word of wisdom, a sudden insight given by the Holy Spirit concerning God's wisdom. Now, I'm going to give you three ideas, if we move on to the next slide, about how wisdom is so, so, so crucial in the Christian life. It's crucial in entry to the kingdom, progressively as we grow in the kingdom, and then the word of wisdom is the suddenly. Okay? What do I mean by this? Well, let me explain. Entry into the kingdom. Now, if you go to 2 Corinthians 3, verses 12 to 16, 2 Corinthians 3:12 to 16, Paul explains that the dynamics of conversion is a sudden bit of wisdom. Okay? So he basically suggests that the whole world is kind of blinded by the devil, so they can't see the glory of Jesus. And when the Jews hear the law read, it's like there's a veil covering their eyes and they can't see Jesus. And Paul thinks it's as plain as the nose on your face, but he says there's something going on here with what the enemy's doing where people just can't see. And then he says, but when somebody turns to Christ, he says it's like the veil has been taken away. And they can see. You see, so the entry into the kingdom is actually about the veil being taken away. So, I mean, apologetics is really important, where somebody says, well, where are all the dinosaurs? And, you know, what about life on other planets? And all that sort of stuff. You know, that's really important. But you cannot argue somebody into the kingdom of God, because it's actually a spiritual thing. God has to send his wisdom, remove the veil, and they've got to see. It's necessary. That's why prayer is actually more important than sort of filling your mind full of apologetics. We need both. But actually, prayer for the person that you cannot break into with the gospel of Jesus is so much more important, because we need the veil taken away. Like, even think about the ministry of Jesus, where he asked the disciples, doesn't he? Basically, who do you say that I am? And Peter says that you're the Messiah. And what does Jesus say? He says, flesh and blood did not work this out. You have obviously been told this by my Father in heaven. This has been given to you by the Holy Spirit, in other words. So entry into the kingdom, seeing who Jesus is about God's wisdom being given to us, his revelation being given to us. But then as we walk on in the Christian life, progressively, we're meant to be growing in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, and all those sorts of things, right? And as we grow in those things, as we surround ourselves with Christian counsel and friends and older brothers and sisters in the Lord, we become more wise, don't we? Hopefully. I hope. Okay? And as we become more wise, as we grow progressively, we start to make wiser decisions. So Carlton spoke about the first fruit of the Spirit on Sunday night past, and he spoke about self-control. That is a fruit of the Spirit. If you have self-control, will you make wiser decisions? Yes. Okay? So progressively we become wiser. But also, we have this gift available to us, which is suddenly wisdom. Suddenly wisdom. And suddenly wisdom is the utterance of wisdom, the word of wisdom. Let me give you some examples from the ministry of Jesus, where he was in difficult, no-win situations, and his use of practical wisdom saved the day. Okay, now listen to these and see if you can understand what I'm saying. Now, Jesus couldn't have planned these moments. They were sort of cast upon him, but here's his wisdom. Mark 2:13-17, Jesus is at Levi's house, and the Pharisees start to question why he's eating with tax collectors and sinners. And Jesus, with a moment of brilliant, genius wisdom, says, it's not the healthy that need a doctor. It's the sick. Okay? Do you see what he's doing there? Totally disarming these guys. He's saying, who do you think need the doctor? The sick people or the well people? Genius. No answer to that as Jesus gives this beautiful word of wisdom. Mark 3:20-30. Jesus is involved in casting out a demon. And some people around start to accuse him of actually being the devil himself. That's how he's casting out these demons. He's the devil himself. So what would you do? You would say, I am not the devil. How dare you? Jesus doesn't. He says, that logic does not work. How can Satan cast out Satan? A kingdom cannot stand if it's against itself. Isn't that right? Amazing wisdom. Totally disarming his opponents. Mark 12:13-17. He gets this question. Do we have to pay taxes to Caesar? Okay. If he says yes, it's going to annoy lots of people that think Caesar is not the right ruler over their nation. If he says no, he's going to basically be a revolutionary. He's going to be tried and probably killed at that stage. And what does he say? He says, give to Caesar what's Caesar's. Give to God what's God's. It's amazing wisdom. And, you know, if you look through the Gospels, what you'll see is that people see this extraordinary wisdom. And for example, in Matthew 13, verse 54, people ask, where does he get such wisdom from? Like, we know his man, Dad. We know his brothers. We know where he's from. We know that he's a carpenter. Where does he get this wisdom from? And the answer is from the Holy Spirit, from heaven. You know, Isaiah 11, verse 2, prophesies about Jesus coming. And it says this, the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. That was prophesied. Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Jesus' wisdom was heavenly wisdom. That's what he spoke out. One of my favorite stories in what I believe is the word of wisdom is of an old preacher called Dr. Barnhouse. Okay? Dr. Barnhouse. I don't know anything about him apart from this story, but his name's Dr. Barnhouse. And I might have told you this story before, but Dr. Barnhouse had an awful experience. His wife passed away. And he had very young children. And the children and him went to the funeral in silence. And on the way home from the funeral, the children were just wailing, weeping in the back seat of his car. And he just felt empty. He thought, what can I say to these kids? Do I stop for a McDonald's? What do I do to kind of, you know, bring them some kind of peace? And just as he was thinking these things, he just thought, I've got to ask the Lord. I've got to ask the Lord for some wisdom into this situation. And he prayed. And just as he prayed, a massive shadow went over their car as a big, massive 40-foot lorry overtook them. And he said to the kids, right at that moment, and I don't know if you'll think this is genius, but it had a momentary, beautiful effect on his kids. He said, kids, and they stopped crying. He said, would you rather be hit by a 40-foot lorry or the shadow of one? And they said, the shadow, Daddy. And he said, well, your mummy wasn't hit by death, but merely the shadow of death. I just thought, that's amazing. Isn't that amazing? I believe that was a word of wisdom given to that old preacher just at the right moment. I want to bring this into a close, in a sense. If we move on to the next slide. There's a beautiful little verse in Proverbs 2. I think this might be Proverbs 2, verse 2. But it says, it talks about wisdom, and it says, seek it like silver. Search for it as for hidden treasures. Here's the question. How do we get wisdom? If we're saying we're uninformed or whatever about these spiritual gifts, how do we get this one? How do we move in this one? How do we enter into these no-win situations and access the Lord's wisdom at these really important times? Well, two suggestions. We need to ask for it, and we need to wait for it. So first of all, ask for it. Ask for it. Do we ask for wisdom? James says, you have not because you do not ask. And I just love this from James 1. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is tossed, driven and tossed by the wind. You know, you're so welcome, folks, week by week, when you meet a really difficult situation, to come forward here and just, without even telling the wee team here that pray for people, just say, can you pray for me? Bring everything you're experiencing into conversation with the Lord and ask for his wisdom. In Ephesians 1, verse 17, Paul says this about the Ephesian church. I keep asking that the Lord, God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, so that you might know him better. So ask for it. Ask for God's heavenly wisdom. Realize that this is not a DIY life. We need him. We need his wisdom. We need his heavenly counsel. And here's, I think, an even more important one. Wait for it. Wait for it. You know, I'm increasingly convinced that in discipleship, what we do with those first 10 seconds, 1 minute, after we're faced with a challenge is one of the most crucial times in life. Let me give you an example. Wait for it. Remember Jesus, one day he's just getting on his business, doing his teaching, and suddenly there's this probably half-naked woman thrown down in front of him. Basically, she's been caught in adultery. And they ask Jesus, well, what do we do with this? You know, should we stone her? You know? I mean, Jesus, that is just a no-win situation. Because if Jesus says, oh, let her go, I mean, she's a lovely girl, okay? Well, he's completely going against the law of Moses, which, you know, essentially says that this is how this situation has to be dealt with. If he says, let's stone her, he's going to be completely loveless, and he's going to be part of this poor woman being killed. So either has two options, be lawless or be loveless, okay? What does Jesus do there? He's stuck, massively stuck. And I think most of us would believe that Jesus is just the smartest person who ever lived. He always knew exactly the right thing to say. He's just the smartest person who ever lived. And you know what, folks? In a sense, that's not fair, is it? That when Jesus came to earth, he just came as the smartest person that ever lived. The goodest person that ever lived, you know. All them sorts of things. I know goodest isn't a word. I was just trying to be... Do you know? But no, that's not what he does. He doesn't just go, let him who's without sin cast the first stone. He doesn't. What does he do? He gets down on the ground. He starts to scribble in the dust. And typical Western theologians, we try and figure out what he was doing in the dust, okay? So we say he was maybe writing the Ten Commandments. He was maybe drawing a cross, you know. We're obsessed with this. I'll tell you what I think he was doing in the dust. I think he was getting himself a wee bit of time to think. I think he was more than just thinking. I think he was praying. I think he was waiting on the Holy Spirit to give him some kind of wisdom in this moment. And then he stands up and he says, whoever's without sin, you love the first one. He completely avoids being loveless. But then he says to the lady who was caught in adultery, he says, no, you need to leave your life of sin. Completely avoids being lawless. It's beautiful what Jesus is able to do in that moment of waiting. And what about for our lives, just so I can show you that it's definitely for our lives and not for Jesus. What do we see here? Luke 12, verses 11 and 12. Jesus has given some counsel to the disciples, warning them there are going to be times when you're going to be dragged in front of rulers and people that want to kill you, people that want to imprison you. This is going to happen to you as you follow after the things of God. And what does Jesus say to them? He says this, and when they bring you before synagogues and rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you need to say. Could it be any clearer? In moments of challenge, you need to wait. Don't let your brain go, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? What am I going to say? What am I going to do? In moments of challenge, you need to write in the dust, wait for God, ask for his wisdom, and he might just give it to you. Maybe there's somebody this morning and you're in a really difficult situation. You need heavenly wisdom. Ask for it. Wait for it. Believe for it. And it might just be breakthrough that you need. Can we stand together? And I hope you... I don't know if you're going to be able to see this. I think I might have chosen a particularly bad color here. Okay. Is there any chance? Any chance? Clean your glasses. Okay. Put up your hand if you cannot see that. Okay. All right. Just follow your neighbor. Okay. That is terrible. I'm so sorry. I'll use white next time. Listen, let's do things a different way. I'm gonna pray this prayer for us, okay? Anyone who knows it can also pray it with me, okay? And then we're just gonna wait for a second, and then I'll just lead us in a very simple prayer. But anyone who can see it, let's just use this prayer now. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, you operated in the gift of wisdom throughout your ministry. You were truly anointed by the Spirit with wisdom and revelation. I believe you are the source of all godly wisdom, that you are the very wisdom of God. I ask today you would give a word of wisdom in the difficult circumstances which I am facing. Please give me the spirit of wisdom and understanding, that I might see your way through my difficulty. I ask all of this believing that you have already heard my prayer and that you are able to answer. In your name I pray. Amen. Okay, folks, I'm going to pray a really short burst of prayer, and I want us to loudly say amen if we want it, okay, at the end of each line. Heavenly Father, you are wisdom. Amen. Heavenly Father, I acknowledge that I have often ignored your wisdom. Amen. I acknowledge that I have often ignored your Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, as a church, we want your Spirit. As a church, we want your wisdom.
Amen.
As a church, we want to use your wisdom to reach people for Jesus.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Amen. Folks, we're just going to worship now. And the prayer team are going to be here. And we just want to encourage you, if you just need to hear from the Lord, come forward and just receive a word of prayer. It's normal, this stuff. It's just Jesus ministry stuff. It's just early church stuff. It's just what we should be doing. So do come forward and receive prayer. But let's lift our voices to worship him.